I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Fire in the Glen is a traditional Irish, Scottish, and maritime pub band from central Pennsylvania featuring fiddler Tom Knapp, singer and percussionist Aaron Gagne, and yours truly on guitar. Fire in the Glen has been entertaining audiences in the region for over a decade, performing at local pubs, community concert series, private parties, and even the occasional library. The band was formed by Tom Knapp and John Varner in 1999. Tom and Aaron joined me for a special 2011 St. Patrick's Day episode of Around the Wood Stove to talk about the history of the band and some of the more memorable shows. Well, joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, are my esteemed colleagues in Fire in the Glen, Aaron Gagne and Tom Knapp, for a special St. Patrick's Day episode of Around the Wood Stove. Welcome to Around the Wood Stove, Aaron
and Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Of course, Tom was a guest host with us at this halfway to St. Patrick's Day episode going back to September of last year, 2010. But I wanted to talk about Fire in the Glen, because Fire in the Glen has been a Celtic music machine in the Lancaster area for about 12 years now, and I've been a part of the band for three, but there's a rich history behind that. So Tom, take us back to the beginning as founding member of Fire in the Glen, somewhere around 1999. I'm not sure, it's lore now.
It is, it's a history and a legend. Back in 97 and 98, I used to jam in my living room with a singer-guitarist named John Varner, a local musician who is still very active in the music scene in this area. And we mostly just did it for fun.
Yeah.
And once, sort of as a joke and sort of seriously, he gave my name and phone number to a local pub that had Irish music and said, if you ever want an Irish band, give this guy a call. And one day I got a call saying they want to hire my band. And I said, what band? And they said, Fire in the Glen. And I remembered we had talked about that as the name of a band, so it clicked. So I called John a few minutes later and said we had 1 week to come up with a three-hour show.
So John was on the spot, really.
He was as well. So we had to come up with a three-hour show, which we had plenty of material for. And we put it together. We became a band and started doing shows from then on. And John and I remained partners for about 2 years.
How quickly did it ramp up to where you were in demand? Were you struggling to find gigs early on, or was there a lot of Irish music in the area to compete with, or did you pretty much just come out of the gate?
We pretty much came out of the gate, surprisingly. We were a little bit taken aback by how much demand there was. There's a demand for Irish music, and there aren't a lot of Irish bands in the area.
Right.
And anybody who makes any kind of claim to playing that music will get gig calls. Our first show actually was on March 17th of 1999, so we got off on a good start with a St. Patrick's Day show.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
Right. So you have a built-in enthusiastic audience right away.
So after John came Chet Williamson.
Yes.
Talk about how you found Chet, or how Chet found you, how that partnership formed.
Well, I'm a newspaper reporter, and Chet is a horror and dark fantasy author. And I had interviewed him on a couple occasions over the years, mostly for Halloween-type stories. And so we had a passing familiarity with each other. And through the grapevine, he had heard I was looking for a replacement singer, and he contacted me. And I was a little worried at first, because he said most of his experience was church and theater singing. And I thought, that's not quite the style we're looking for.
Right.
I did an audition, and I thought right away, this sounds like a guy who's used to, you know, projecting from a stage, but a different kind of stage. But we worked together a couple times, and we had a gig coming up that I needed to fill. So I said, well, tell you what, how about if we work up music, we'll see how it goes in a live situation. And he loosened up and got into the spirit of Irish music very quickly. And we did a show that went over very, very well. And at the end of the show, I turned to him, stuck out my hand and said, want to be partners?
Yeah, great.
And we went from there. Chet and I were together for about 7 years. And we really defined sort of the style, the essence of what Fire in the Glen is, the breakdown of the rowdy fiddle tunes and the raucous pub songs. And it was a very fruitful year. It was a very fruitful series of years. We got a lot of gigs. We traveled a bit.
Yeah.
And
with Chet Williamson came two Fire in the Glen CDs.
Yes.
You had done one with John.
John and I did one. Chet and I did two. That was also the era that we started adding some Fire in the Glen originals.
Okay.
Most of what we do, what we've always done, has been Scottish and Irish traditional music, a little bit of Cape Breton music thrown in. But part of the tradition is composition. You know, it's a living, growing tradition. Yeah. And we wrote a couple songs. The first was actually a tribute, sort of, to a Canadian band called The Arrogant Worms. They had done a song called The Last Saskatchewan Pirate.
Mm.
And right. it was a great song. And I just kept thinking that this had potential, but not if you live outside of Canada. So I wrote to the band and asked them for permission to redo it for our region. And they wrote back. They were all kinds of flattered that somebody wanted to remake one of their songs. And so we got their permission, and I rewrote it as the Susquehanna Pirate. And it has become, ever since then, one of Fire in the Glen's most popular songs.
Absolutely.
And I mean, everybody loves pirates.
Right.
And it's got a good, you know, sing-along kind of chorus. People shout out the args and the pirate roars. So that then led to what may someday be a trilogy of the Celtic Pennsylvania Dutch song catalog. That went to next one to a song called From Amish to Irish. Both end in ish. So that's the story of a farmer who becomes an Irish highwayman in the south central Pennsylvania area. And it's also going over pretty well. We set that one to the tune of an old Irish song called The Moonshiner. And in the works then is the third song, which has never yet been performed in public, but it's called Jakey the Piper.
This has been in the works for many years.
It has been in the works for many years.
Because I've been in the band for 3 years,
right,
and have never performed this song.
Correct. It's one of those. Sometimes I wonder if you might have an over submersion in the Pennsylvania Dutch theme. I don't know. I don't know what the market will bear. You know, two might be enough. But that started then the tradition. We like I said, we still do mostly traditional music, but Chet and I started writing.
Yeah.
We added a few songs to our playlist. There's a well-known Celtic singer named Charlie Zahm. He's based in Pennsylvania, but he travels very far afield. He's definitely better known than we are. And he once contacted me to let us know that we had arrived because somebody at one of his shows shouted out, "Do Susquehanna Pirate."
Ah, that's funny.
Nice.
So he said, "You guys have definitely made a splash with that one."
And it's a heave-ho, hi-ho, sailing early morn, stealing ripe tobacco and silver queen white corn. And it's a ho, hey, way, hey, a farmer's bar your doors when you see the Jolly Roger off the Susquehanna shores. Well, you'd think the local farmers would know that I'm at large, but just the other day I sank an unsuspecting barge. I snuck up right behind them, they were none the wiser. I rammed their ship, I sank it, and I stole their fertilizer. A bridge outside Columbia spans the mighty river. Farmers cross in so much fear, their stomachs are a-quiver. Because they know that Shoofly Jake is waiting for some fun. I'll jump the bridge, I'll steal their beans, and leave them there with none. And it's a heave-ho, hi-ho, a sail at early morn, stealing ripe tobacco and silver queen white corn. And it's a ho, hey, way, hey, a farmer's bar your doors when you see the Jolly Roger off the Susquehanna shores.
Some other original songs from the set came, of course, from the Chet era.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, arguably one of the most popular songs is the song I'd Stop Drinking. That's a Chet Williamson. Chet was on the show a little while ago, both as an author and as part of the Creative Works of Lancaster. And we talked a little bit about I'd Stop Drinking. Clearly one of the most memorable and favorite songs from the Fire in the Glen show.
Chet definitely has a very quirky sense of humor. And obviously, he's got a gift for writing. And one of the nice, the mainstays of the Irish pub song is something that people can sing along with.
Yeah.
I'd Stop Drinking has a very simple chorus. It's one that people can pick up immediately. And the drinking song is one that just gets people going.
Right.
And this one, it's catchy. It's easy to remember. And it has become a wildly favorite Fire in the Glen song. When Chet decided to move on and do other things, primarily return to the stage, actually, I asked him if we could keep doing some of his originals, particularly I'd Stop Drinking. And he said that he would be very happy to know that had become part of the local tradition.
Yeah. So we did a CD together. Really, after Chet decided to leave the group, mm-hmm. was what I consider really the dark era. the troubled era of Fire in the Glen when I took over for Chet. But anyway, last year was the fourth CD, fourth Fire in the Glen CD, and that song, I'd Stop Drinking, made its first recording debut.
Yes.
On that CD without Chet, with me singing that track.
Absolutely.
So, and I'm really glad to have had the opportunity to make that one.
I drink because I'm happy, and I drink because I'm sad. I drink because I'm miserable, I drink because I'm glad. And when they say that there's 12 steps to stop drinking today, I kick them down the 12 steps that lead to Galway Bay. Oh, I'd stop drinking if I could find another way. If I could find another way. If I could find another way. I'd stop drinking if I could find another way. If I could find another way to get it down. Oh, I'm drinking when there's music, and I'm drinking when it's quiet. I drink when I am peaceful, then I start a bloody riot. And when the father tells me that I ought to take the pledge, I chase that bugger up to the roof and shove him off the edge. I'd stop drinking if I could find another way. If I could find another way. If I could find another way. I'd stop drinking if I could find another way. If I could find another way to get it down. Oh, I drink when I am empty, and I drink when I am full. Whatever my condition, give that tap a second pull. And if some hippie says, put down my pint and smoke some grass, dude. I have another Guinness and shove that doobie up his... Oh, I'd stop drinking if I could find another way. If I could find another way. If I could find another way. I'd stop drinking if I could find another way. If I could find another way to get it down.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Joining me today are Tom Knapp and Aaron Gagne, my partners in the Celtic band Fire in the Glen.
It's worth noting that when Chet decided to leave the band, I was a little bit adrift for a while at who his replacement would be. And I was checking out a few options, people who I knew sang in the area. And it was my wife, Kate, who said, well, how about that guy who lives across the street? He sings.
Great.
And... we hadn't interacted that much yet. We'd done a few things, like a coffee house or two that you were hosting.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I don't know. He's a little more, you know, country folk. I'm not sure it would work.
Lo and behold,
again, you dove into the Irish sound and became a very successful incarnation of the band.
Yeah, so that was an interesting story. But moving into the neighborhood turned out to be a really, beyond just finding a pretty cool house to do things like house concerts, also... met Tom and became part of the Fire in the Glen history, which really brings us to the most recent incarnation of the group, which introduces Aaron Gagne, the latest Fire in the Glen lead vocalist.
That's for the first time in 12 years we are a trio.
Nice.
So it's we're growing.
So yeah, in another 12 years it could be four, maybe five people.
I was thinking of a horn section.
Yeah. Well, that would work. So Aaron, first of all, welcome to Fire in the Glen.
Thank you, and welcome to Around the Woodstove.
So Aaron Gagne has a pretty rich history in the Lancaster area music scene as well. Let's go back to how you ended up in Lancaster and what was going on with yourself musically at that time.
I moved to Lancaster City around 1997. I was playing in a band called Rain Children, and I was the hand percussionist. We had a drummer, and we had like a 5-piece band. And we had management and booking in the area, and then we were also playing a good deal of shows around this area, and we're touring around the states and different things. But this, we wanted to make a central area our home base, and we were constantly coming to this area. So we moved, we relocated from Valley Forge area to Lancaster, and I really just fell in love with the area. And we were together for another couple years and put out a few more albums and did some touring. And I decided to stay because I really loved the area. And after that, I got involved with Sight and Sound Theaters. I was an actor over there for about 6 years.
Wow.
And which at one point segued to a group called Reveal, which was an acoustic group. And in that group, I was actually given the opportunity to go to Ireland, which is kind of cool because I liked I liked the idea of going to Ireland. I always wanted to go, but after I went, it's like I really got even more interested in all things Ireland, and I've been wanting to go back actually for a long time. So it's kind of interesting that I ended up in an Irish group 10 years later. So
yeah, well, my experience is similar. I was in Ireland in the summer of 1999 playing in an American rock band, and really didn't pay much attention to the traditional Irish music when I was there, regretfully now.
Yeah.
Fast forward 7 or 8 years, and I'm playing in an Irish group as well.
It's cool how that works out.
Yeah. And then after those experiences came, when I was introduced to you, the most recent band in the Lancaster area that you performed with, that was Karis.
Yeah, I was the drummer playing drum set for Karis, and we became a 5-piece group as well, and we were together for 5 years, and I met them in the area here, and we put out a couple albums and did a good deal of shows in this region and Dewey Beach and a bunch of things like that. So that was a great experience. So that kind of ended really just a few months before I joined Fire in the Glen. So it's kind of an interesting story how I came to join Fire in the Glen, I would say.
It is.
Yeah, talk about that.
All right. Well, Tom, do you want to start it? Or?
Well, certainly. It came because of a back injury, actually. I was going to physical therapy because of an injury. And the assistant physical therapist who was working with me was Sherry.
Beautiful lady, right?
Beautiful lady, Sherry, which is Aaron's wife. And I had mentioned that we were looking for a singer to expand the band. And we had auditioned several people, and some were great. Some didn't work out for, you know, timing reasons or whatever. Some would just involve too much of a change in the Fire in the Glen style. And I was starting to get a little worried that we weren't going to find somebody who really meshed with what Fire in the Glen was.
Right.
And so Sherry and I were talking one day as she was putting me through a rigorous set of painful exercises. And I happened to mention that I was looking for a singer to join our band. And she just stopped. She said, "My husband's a singer, and he's looking for a band."
Which was very true. I grew up singing my whole life, and as I've already said, I did musical theater. In a lot of the bands I've been in, I sang backup in addition to playing drums or hand percussion. But the thing is, for me, at this point in my life at least, I'm still not a songwriter. So it's, for me, being the lead singer of a band has always been, man, I'd have to run into like a perfect situation where if you have a songwriter who doesn't sing, which I've known a few bands like that, but so yeah, it was like it had to be the perfect situation, and there were a couple bands that I was maybe trying to put feelers out about singing in and that kind of a thing, and so yeah, I got a text from Sherry one day, basically relaying the story that Tom just told. And then I got home, and I have this Facebook message from Jason over here, who I knew. I've known Jason a little bit from my Karis days.
Right, right.
Right, so anyway, that really piqued my interest, and I gave Jason a call, and he kind of explained what was going on.
Years of Fire in the Glen, is there a gig or that stands out as a most memorable?
A couple stand out. Mostly, we started out playing in pubs. Mostly, we were a pub band for a while, and Early on, we had a shot to play on the Chameleon stage as the opening band for Great Big Sea, which is one of my huge influences, a band out of Newfoundland, which is just, that was a pinnacle to be on stage with them, even though it's odd that was the most unpolished period of Fire in the Glen's career. You know, we hadn't really developed our own sound yet.
But was that with Chet or was that with John?
That was with John. Okay. We were really in the early days and we hadn't really defined ourselves yet.
But, yeah.
A lot of pub shows, you know, it's a great kind of feeling to be at a pub and really capture an audience's attention because they've got so many things competing for it. And, you know, things like McGrath's in Harrisburg is a great Irish pub that often packs the place with people who want to hear music.
Yeah.
But over the years, we've started doing more shows that are a little more laid back, not in energy of the music, obviously, but in just the presentation. We've done lawn concerts and wedding receptions and things. Oddly enough, the Lititz Public Library, which is a show we do at least once a year, is one of the most fun, even though we're in a library, because the crowd is just ready for a party. And, you know, we start the show by telling them this is the one time they can be really loud in a library, and they shout and they dance and they scream, and it's a really fun show.
I got to admit, the first time that you told me we were going to play at a library, I thought to myself, well, it as long as it pays well, I'll make it through it. But I agree, it's one of my favorite venues to play.
Probably one of the more memorable shows, though, was a couple years ago when you Jason and I were hired to play at a wedding.
Yes, absolutely. It definitely stands out in my mind as the best or the most memorable gig that I've done with the band.
It was interesting because we were doing fairly laid back music. We were doing the actual ceremony, which we usually don't do. We're more of a reception band, but we were doing, you know, procession and recession music, things like that. And then we were going to do a very short fill-in period while they moved from the wedding at one side of the estate.
Right, cocktail hour.
Right, and then over to the reception. And after our little cocktail hour performance, we tore down.
Which let me point out too was we were playing in a courtyard.
Right.
That was surrounded by hedges that were about 8 feet high, and the bar was set up on the other side of the hedges. So of our 90-minute set, for about 85 minutes, it was me and Tom playing to the hedges.
Oh, man.
There was no... People would clap from the other side of the hedges, but there was nobody in physical view of us.
We knew they were there, though.
We knew they were there. And in the last song or two, a few people came over, maybe a dozen people or so came over and actually sat and listened to a couple songs. But that was it. And so the day was over, and it was time to pack up the stuff and move on. But fortunately, the bride and groom had invited us to stay for dinner, which was in a tent on the other side of the estate.
And as musicians, you know, free food is always a lure.
Yeah.
So we packed up our gear and got ready to have a little bit of food and head home. And we got over to the other side. We got into the tent, and the bride and groom were in a tizzy because the DJ that they had booked had not shown up.
And they were supposed to do dinner music.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to have this, you know, jazz or whatever playing quietly in the background as people were preparing for dinner, and it was mysteriously quiet.
It was very quiet, and the bride was so upset. I remember she just looked like she was going to lose it. They couldn't even get hold of the DJ. They couldn't reach him by phone. Turned out there was a mistake in scheduling, that they had the wrong date down, I think it was.
Something like that, yeah.
But we walked in, and... We chatted for a few minutes once we realized what the problem was.
Well, the bride and the groom at that time were talking to the photographer and the videographer.
Right.
And when we walked over. And I don't even know why we went up to them, but for some reason, maybe because she looked so upset, and maybe we wanted to make sure it wasn't because of our performance. I don't know.
Oh, my God. They were terrible.
Ouch.
But in any event, so they were talking to the DJ and the videographer.
No, the photographer.
And I'm sorry, not the DJ. Yeah, the photographer and the videographer.
Yes.
We offered to do a reception show, and I know with our sound system and the photographer's iPod, and I think you had your iPod along as well.
Yeah, no, you know what it was? It was really funny because the photographer was on his way somewhere that night. He's from Philadelphia, and he was on his way to the middle of the state, and he just so happened to have his wife's laptop.
That's right,
wow. Which just so happened to have every favorite dance song imaginable. Like the guy would have never had that music, but he had like 300 songs and like party songs and dance songs and all this popular music on it.
So he said he could stay for about an hour. So we hooked his laptop up to our sound system, and we DJ'd between the three of us. We DJ'd a show for an hour while we grabbed a bite to eat as well. And when he wrapped up, we unpacked our instruments and did a reception show. And I remember the bride and groom said that it was better than any you know DJ show they could have imagined because we had that nice live element.
Yeah,
it was we got fun. People dancing. And I think a lot of it was just the fact that everybody knew that there had almost been a crisis, and so they were ready to throw themselves into a party situation and just enjoy it.
Yeah,
and that was one of the best wedding receptions we've ever done because people just loved it. They just loved that we were there and playing music for them.
Yeah, it was cool. That was a great show.
And it's all for me grog, me jolly jolly grog, all gone for beer and tobacco. Well, I spent all me tin on the lassies drinking gin. Far across the western ocean I must wander. Where are me boots, me noggin noggin boots, all gone for beer and tobacco? For the heels are all worn out, and the toes are kicked about, and the soles are looking out for better weather. And it's all for me grog, me jolly jolly grog, all gone for beer and tobacco. Well, I spent all me tin on the lassies drinking gin. Far across the western ocean I must wander. Where is me shirt, me noggin noggin shirt, all gone for beer and tobacco? For the collar is all worn, and the sleeves they all are torn, and the tail is looking out for better weather. And it's all for me grog, me jolly jolly grog, all gone for beer and tobacco. Well, I spent all me tin on the lassies drinking gin. Far across the western ocean I must wander.
Outside of Fire in the Glen, Tom, you're also, and of course being a newspaper writer for the local papers, you also run a website.
Yes.
Rambles.net. Talk about Rambles.
Well, Rambles.net is something that I started about the same time as Fire in the Glen, actually. It also began in 1999. I've always been very interested in various kinds of roots, folk music, world music, and books. I'm an avid reader. And I had done a little bit of reviewing for some websites. And I just decided on sort of a whim to start my own. And Rambles was the best name I could come up with at the time. So Rambles.net was born. And initially it was myself and a couple of friends writing, and it has grown. I've had over 200 people around the world writing for me now. And every day my mailbox is flooded with books and CDs that people are sending in to get featured.
And I can vouch for that because when I'm waiting for a package to come from UPS, I run to the window every time I hear the truck, and it's always at Tom's.
Nice.
Yes.
Unloading boxes of CDs and
yes.
movies and books.
And so it's magazine form. We update once a week, and we always post at least a dozen or more new reviews. And
12 years, and for a website, that's a long time. That's 7 years longer than I think YouTube's even been around.
Yeah, well, it's got it's built up to over well over 13,000 reviews on the site now.
Wow!
So it's built up quite a collection.
That's great. Thanks, guys, for sitting down and chatting about Fire in the Glen and everything that's going on with the band and the Irish music. And of course, we wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jason.
You bet. The Celtic band Fire in the Glen has been entertaining audiences with mug-thumping pub songs and rollicking fiddle tunes in the central Pennsylvania region for over a decade. To learn more about the band and check out the performance schedule, visit fireintheglen.com or link up at woodstovehouse.com where you can listen to past episodes of the show, check show notes, or leave feedback. This episode was recorded at the Candy Factory. The Candy Factory is Lancaster, Pennsylvania's premier shared workspace. Find out more at candyissweet.com. Around the Wood Stove is a production of the Wood Stove House. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.